And as you could tell listening to Karen, her young life in Christ has been a thrilling adventure. And she has even more that she would be willing to share with you, that's for sure. How many of you have ever been on a roller coaster? Can I see by? Okay, most of you. Now, can you remember? You remember, you know, that clankety clank, 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 going up that steep ramp, and it gets you to the top, and it kind of holds you there, and you look over, and ooh, down you go. You remember what happened in your body? You remember that thrill? It was just a marvelous thrill that took place. You were sure if you're going to live or die. Now, how many of you ever jumped out of perfectly good airplanes with a parachute? All right, there's one, two. All right, so guys, you did that too, Norma. All right, Norma. Standing up for the gentler gender. All right. So you remember going out that first time, at least those of us, the three of us that were in the military, the first time was on that static line, you know, just woo, 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 woo. And the only reason you really went out the door was because everybody else went out the door and you got a whole line behind you, you know? But you've been trained for it. You've been practicing your PLFs and you're all ready for that parachute landing fall, but out you go and you just, oh, what a thrill. And then what a bigger thrill when the canopy goes, you know, opens up and you get opening shock, you know? Oh, okay, I'm not gonna fall all the way and kill myself. How many of you ever been bungee jumping? You went bungee jumping?
Sort of. It was a dive. They lift you up and you pull something and it drops you down.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Well, bungee jumping, they take you way up. And my girls, they all went bottom first. You know, they just fall off the ledge. And they go, woo, and you hear them scream. And everybody's ears are pierced and so forth. And but my son and I, we would swan dive. We would just stand, woo, it is really a thrill as you're going down and you don't have opening shock from this thing yet. You're just going down and the earth is coming up and you're going, I wonder if this thing is going to work. And because the guys went first. The girls wouldn't go until after the guys went. And so if we get killed, then they knew better than the go. But, you know, what a thrill. I mean, you know, I can remember when these 60 Mike mortars were going off. I wasn't thrilled. Actually, I was pretty thrilled when they stopped, though. And I can remember the first time in a black and white and riding as the booking officer, and that means the passenger, and we're going code 3, and we're blasting through red lights and so forth and so on. I mean, this is exciting, you know. We're getting ready to come up on this 211, this robbery that's in process, and I'm trying to unlock the shotgun and get it out, and I've got so much adrenaline going, I'm shaking and that kind of thing, and it was even more thrilling when I got to be the driving officer and going code 3 in a black and white and that kind of thing. You know, it's just thrilling, really thrilling, and this is what our Lord has intended for us when we came to him and we came in a broken state. We came confessing our sins and repenting of our sins, and we give ourselves to him. We receive his righteousness as he takes away our unrighteousness, and now our lives are no longer about us. We've become citizens of heaven. We're not to be seeing ourselves as entrenched here. We're citizens of the United States, no doubt about it, if we're born here. But nonetheless, this is a place we're passing through. We're going on to heaven. And our life is to be about him now. It's not my career. It's whatever he wants me to do. I'm doing what he has called me now to do. And this is an exciting thing. If we actually are following after the Lord, if we are doing what he wants us to do, we're going to have a thrilling adventure as Christians. You can't help it. Because people are going to come to you, or you're going to go to them, and they're going to be so excited about the fact that you shared with them this thing called the gospel. And they are no longer like you. They're not going to go to hell. They're not going to be suffering the wrath of God. They're going to go to heaven. And this is wonderful. And there are going to be all those kinds of people. But there's also going to be those people. They're going to say, stay away from me. I don't want to hear anything about your Jesus. And I don't believe in heaven and hell. Just stay away. And they might even use a few adjectives to describe how displeased they are. Thrilling nonetheless. I can remember going out and sharing the gospel the first time. I mean, I'm just as dumb as a knot on a tree. And it was just a thrilling thing to do. And it was really a shock when I met people that didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. And they were right in my family. So this is what our text, I'm hoping, is going to begin to draw out of you as we're going from chapter 5 through the rest of the book of Acts. You and I are to live a thrilling life. And if you're a Christian and you have really a dull life, you know, your life is really all about, well, I'm going to get home and I'm going to eat. And I'm going to eat. And I'm going to read the paper. And you know what? I'm going to just veg here the rest of the time. Watching my favorite sporting event. Or your life is all about just going to sporting events. Or your life is all about running kids everywhere and running you ragged. Because, you know, they have to be at all these events. I mean, they can't live in America if they're not part of all these events. The Lord never called you or I to that life and that life alone. There are times for our rest. Some of us are very tired. It doesn't take long to fall asleep. But our life should be a thrilling adventure. Last week I shared with you two couples, both in their 20s. One went off to not Guatemala, but to Ecuador and to the Alca Indians. Remember the Elliots? And then I shared with you prior to that about the Judsons and how they went to what was then Burma, and how Ann and Iron spent time in prison for sharing the gospel. But they spent their lives there giving the gospel to people who wouldn't have heard it unless they had entered into this life, this thrilling adventure of taking the Lord Jesus Christ to these people. And the way they responded. Jim Elliot is killed in the process. But nonetheless, Elizabeth leads the very man that killed her husband to faith in Christ. And he would be given the mantle in their family of being called grandfather. I mean, it's an amazing life that Christians are supposed to have. Not a boring one. Not a sad one. Not one where all you do is sit around and complain about what's going on in this world. So I gave you a couple of couples last time, and this time, in preparation for our introduction into our text, I want to share with you two single people. I don't want to leave the singles out in the church family. I want you to understand that single Christians, if you're not having a really rich and thrilling adventure as a Christian single, you can be, and you should be. I'd like to first share with you a name by the name, if you'd put that picture up there, Mary Schlesher. Mary Schlesher. Look at her. She lived in the first, or the middle part, if you will, of the 1800s. But Mary grew up in the slums of Aberdeen, Scotland. And her father imbibed in alcohol too much and was a disaster in her family. Her mom was very devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in spite of living in the slums and under the conditions that Mary had to live, she grew up and she formed this tenaciousness and this wonderful love for Jesus. And she came to know our Lord through her mom and through going to church. And it was during that time that mom would once a month get this paper called the missions paper, real simple. And she would read it to Mary. And at that time, Mary began to have a real hunger for the Lord Jesus and sharing him. And she began to do so in the slums where she lived. And this tenaciousness and this desire to share Christ was going to grow in such a way that that she would eventually find herself in Nigeria. Can you imagine? In Nigeria in the late 1800s. Mary was 27 years old when the news came that Dr. David Livingstone, a medical missionary in Africa, had passed away. And she wanted to carry on, not necessarily his ministry, but to continue to see that the people of Africa received the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So she decided to go and reach out to Africa. Mary began her work, Mary began her work in Calabar, Nigeria. And I'd like to share with you just a little bit of what this particular area was like that she went to in the late 1800s. In the 1500s, Calabar had been recognized as an international seaport, so it was quite a busy area. They're shipping goods like palm oil. But during what became known as the Atlantic slave trade, it became a major port for the transportation of African slaves by the Portuguese and the Spanish. And then in the 1700s, the British had pretty much taken over the African slave trade and were taking African slaves all over the New World and the United States. Calabar had basically two seasons during the year, 10 months of the monsoon, and then 2 months of what they call the dry season. You can only imagine all the different kinds of diseases that existed at that time and would have been bred by the monsoon season and then the superheating up of things. The temperature there fluctuated between 77 and 80 degrees, no more than three degrees one way or the other. But it only changed about 3 degrees when nighttime came. And this is where Mary was. So Mary, at the age of 27, she finds herself there and she lived and worked where no other European had ever gone to up to that point. None. She faced life-threatening illnesses and one trial after another. As you can imagine, she's a white woman in Africa. She became known, nicknamed Mighty Mary. You see that picture? That's Mighty Mary. You know, there is great strength in that woman. She lived among the Okoyang and the Efik people for 15 years, learning their language and helping them settle disputes, working tirelessly to educate and to overcome superstitions such as twins killing. When a mother gave birth to a pair of twins, that was not usual. It's not usual for us either. But nonetheless, they saw it as evil spirits at work, and they would kill the babies. But she convinced these people over the course of time that these belonged to God and that they should not be killed because it's just natural. It's just an extra added blessing that this particular family was receiving. She earned the love and the respect as a result of her life among these people, and she spread the gospel to areas no other missionary could, at that particular time. Mary Schlesinger, she lived a life that was a thrilling adventure as a single woman. Now I'd like to introduce you to a second single woman. Her name is Gladys Aylward. Gladys Aylward, as you can see, when she was born and when she went to be with Christ. She's an amazing lady as well. You know, power by definition is action. If you look it up in the dictionary, power by definition is action. And she was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, like each of you are who are in Christ. And as I shared with you a couple weeks ago, where your focus goes, you know, your energy is going to flow. And her focus was flowing on becoming a missionary. As a young lady, she interviewed for the China Inland Mission that had been started by Hudson Taylor years before. But they felt, because of her youth, a teenager, that she wouldn't be able to probably pick up on some of the Chinese dialects very, very well. And she didn't have much by way of other secondary education. So they turned her down. But Gladys wasn't one to give up. And after working as a housemaid in England and then in Europe, she spent her life savings to buy a train ticket to go to China. And I have to imagine, she has to get on the Trans-Siberian Railroad that goes through Russia, and at that time they were going through a revolution, and she was being held up there and going through a lot of turmoil, but some other Russians took her under their wing and helped her get out of Russia, and she found her way to Japan, and then from Japan she got a ship to be able to go to China. And when she arrived in the city of Yangqing, she began her work with an older missionary by the name of Jenny. And she and Jenny set up the Inn of the Eighth Happiness. Now, there was a movie that was made, The Inn of the Sixth Happiness, with Ingrid Bergman. Most of you are too young to have probably seen it, but I've seen it. Because it was made back in the late 1950s. But it's a true story about Gladys and her work. And she finally was able to get a job, not only serving as a missionary at the inn, but she was also hired by the Chinese government at that time to be a foot inspector. Now, you might wonder what a foot inspector is unless you're familiar with Chinese history. But prior to this time, prior to the 1930s, and for centuries, Chinese women, when they were little girls, they'd have their feet bound very, very tightly. So that basically, as she grew, her foot would grow in part, but it would grow and cripple her, because the foot was basically just made up into a ball. And that was done so that their male overlords, mean husbands, whoever it might have been, it would have been hard for them to run away. But now, the Chinese government, the nationalist government, had decided that this needed to stop. And so she was a foot inspector, and she was going out, and she was making sure that dads were not continuing the practice of having the child's feet bound, and those that had only had them bound for a few years going through the process of unbinding them with the hope that the foot could find some normalcy and the woman would be able to walk without a great deal of pain. In the midst of that, she was still sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, not only with those who came to the inn, but with those she got to talk to as she was performing her government job. But she also, because she loved the Chinese so much, she forsook her English citizenship and took out Chinese citizenship. She wanted to fully identify with the people to whom she had gone to share the gospel. She was affectionately called Ai Wende, which means virtuous one. And others gave her the nickname Jen Ai, which means true love. True love. True love or virtuous one. She took on many orphans and unwanted girls. When the region was invaded by the Japanese in World War II, she took with her over 100 orphans from where they were and over the mountains to safety. And in the process of trying to get them away from the Japanese army, was wounded herself. Unable to return to China at the close of the war because of the communist Chinese having set up their regime and rejecting her application to come back as a Christian Chinese citizen. They wanted nothing to do with Christians. Gladys would then, after some years back in England, she'd return to Taiwan, and there she spent the remaining days of her life working in an orphanage and sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ with her friends and all the people who came to the orphanage and who lived there as well. So she had a pretty exciting life. You know, she had a thrilling life as she followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine, you know, husbands, grandfathers, men in general fighting her as a foot inspector for this new government and so forth, and trying to get children away from the Japanese and over the mountains to safety. Thrilling, thrilling life. And as we look at what took place with these men, these early believers, men and women, in Acts 5, verses 17 through 26, we see how the Holy Spirit was working in their lives. But you see, I've learned as I've sat and talked with some of you, it's hard to identify with the Apostle Paul. It's hard to identify with the Apostle Peter. You know, I can tell you about him. You can read about them. But yet, there are just so many centuries in the past and presently with Christ that there isn't this identification that can be that we latch onto easily. And this is why I'm trying to give you real life people to see that they're just like you. But these people genuinely, when they came to faith in Christ, they saw that their life was no longer about them. They were seeking the supremacy of Him in all of their life. Even if they continued in whatever their career was, there it was Jesus first. It wasn't about them. Moms, when they're raising their kids and they come to faith in Christ, they're now raising God's kids, and they see that. That's what I want for us to be able to grasp and see. You should not have a ho-hum, boring life as a Christian. You should have an exciting life that's going on. And when you get together with other people, Christian or non-Christian alike, to be able to share with them, this is what's going on in my life. Jesus and I did this yesterday. This is what we did last week. What I have found is I meet with many, even you. The last person that is brought up to be discussed is Him. We'll talk about our kids. We'll talk about our grandkids. We'll talk about what's going on at work. We'll talk about our favorite sports team. But we don't talk about Him and what we did with Him just yesterday. And I think we all understand why. We're not spending time with Him. We don't have that exciting life because He's the one that sees us through these deep, deep valleys that some of us are in. And He's the one that climbs with us as we go up those steep mountains of challenge. We can only have this thrilling life in Christ as if He's in it. As opposed to, yeah, I'm a Christian. No, I'm following the Lord. And he and I are having to face this particular trial together. And I was with my grandkids on Easter Sunday, and what a thrill to be there and to pray with them about our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's just too many of us are missing out on a real life with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to get into the Sanhedrin catch and release program. Where are we, Tom? Well, maybe we won't get into the Sanhedrin catch and release program. Well, I've introduced to you married couples, young married couples. I've introduced to you single people that have lived phenomenal lives in the Lord Jesus Christ. My request of you is this, as I made it even this morning during our prayer time. What's the Lord doing in your life? Are you reading ahead in the Word of God with regard to this wonderful journey we're on in the book of Acts? I would so appreciate if you read all of chapter 5, the first part of chapter 6, and if your life resonates with some part of that, would you just sit down? I mean, I know it takes me a long time to write a short letter. When I write you a letter, it's taken me a couple of hours to put it together. And then the staff tears it apart because of something. That's all for your benefit. So would you sit down, make a part of your time with the Lord and say, Lord, this is what we've been up to. What might I share with my bonehead pastor? So he doesn't have to go to all these other places for illustrations. Since I have 120 living illustrations, tell me about what's going on in your life. Just, I won't tell people that if you're thinking, well, people will just think I'm being proud. No, they won't think you're being proud because I'm going to be bragging about you, about what Jesus has done, not what you have done. Jesus used you as the tool, as the vessel to accomplish something nice, glorious, so-so for his sake. But if you sit down and write these out for me so I can use you as the living illustration, because looking to Peter may be hard for you and see him as your example. It isn't for me, but it is for some. But it may be easy for you to look and see, well, I can relate to Stan. I can relate to Marcia and Gary. I can relate to Annette. They're alive. They're just like you. Real people. They're not the super saints. There aren't any. But if you'd write out short little illustrations of your testimony, of your walk with the Lord and the way he's blessed you, the way he saw you through this challenge, I would appreciate it because I'd like to use those to make a difference in your life if the Holy Spirit would so speak to you. So you can see you're not the only one going through it. And our Lord was with others who went through it, and they came out the other side strong and well spiritually at least. Okay, get it? Good. All right. We'll return to the Sanhedrin Catch and Release program next week. And you'll learn about what a BBB Christian is. Would you say that with me? BBB Christian. So, be here next week. You can be a BBB Christian. Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence with us here today. Thank you for your blessings upon Geraldine, as she shares with us this opportunity to continue to help women in crisis pregnancies to keep their babies and not send them off to an abortuary. Thank you for the blessing, Father, of those that are part of the Core Value Missions team and who reach out to our missionaries and let them know that there are those of us who are praying for them, care for them, love them. And I pray your blessing over the Core Value Missions team. as they meet this afternoon. I pray that they come with hearts that are open wide and thoughts from you as to how to continue to increase their team for your glory and your honor, and to be a blessing to those that we celebrate and help financially to care for in various countries. And with that, I think of Danny Brooks, Father, that you would please bring him to good health, that these treatments for cancer will work, and that this young man and his wife Philippa and the children will be able to return to the Philippines, to the mountain, and continue to share your gospel with those people up there. Father, we thank you for Karen and her willingness to sacrifice her time, this time of her life. I know we don't think much about, maybe it'll be a vacation for her. This is no vacation to go to Guatemala, Father, and to be out with the folks as they will be out with them. And Guatemala is a dangerous country, Father, as you know. And so we really pray your protection over her and that you bring her back safely to us. And again, we thank you so much for the Sarabis. And we pray that her daddy will be made well and that their church will be blessed by the miracles that you do and that you can do in his life if you choose to kill that cancer within him. But Father, for my church family, I ask you as we prepare to go that they will see that if they had failures in the past with regard to their relationship with you, that is in the past. And you don't use these things to beat your kids up with. But you do want us to know that you stand ready and able, and you want so very much for us to spend more time with you. So please, Father, for those that are derelict, if I can use that term in their duty, that they're not participators in your ministry. They're spectators. Father, kick them in the tush. Just kick them out of the bleachers and get them down on the field. Really speak to them as to, again, what your son went through so that they didn't have to go through this. And now's the time to get out there and serve you and be a blessing in the lives of other people. Help them to remember where their focus goes, their energy is going to flow. If their focus is going to go to reading secular books, that's where their energy is going to go. If their focus is not on Christ, then the Holy Spirit is not going to be focusing that wonderful energy you gave us at the time of our salvation on Christ. So may you move us to make massive action in our lives with the help of your wonderful Spirit, to be changed, to become these people that are truly walking that narrow road of sanctification, that we'll be shining bright lights in this world, and to see what it's like to step out and to actually talk about your son and see how people warm up to us or get hot over under the collar because of it. Help us to live lives of really powerful, interesting, thrilling lives, Father, for your sake. For I ask this in Jesus' name.